Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. If you have your Bibles tonight, good to see all of you tonight. Psalm 119, and we continue on, and we're in verse number 89. Psalm 119, we'll begin at verse number 89 tonight and go through verse number 96. And so tonight, let's, as we prepare to read, I want to go back and I want to read. So we're right in the center of Psalm 119, the very center of the psalm. And so 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. We were at letter 11 last week, Kaf. This week is Lamed. And so we're right in the center of the psalm. And what I want you to see is the contrast in between the two sections. And so we'll begin tonight, and let me just read this to you. You can look at it, and then we'll do our reading together in just a moment, beginning in verse 89. Verse 81, notice the difference. This was the section we talked about when trouble and affliction come, God's word brings hope. My soul languishes for salvation, verse 81. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word. While I say, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Now let's read for the first time tonight, listening to what the Bible says. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You established the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances. For all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. So, Heavenly Father, tonight, many of us come and we come every week and we've been through another set of days this week. Here we are in the middle of the week, and for some of us it's been a good week, for some of us it's been a challenge. For some of us we've dealt with physical illness and struggles and other kinds of physical afflictions, and others of us, we have torments in our mind and we have deep afflictions in our soul. And we have not called out to you, have not prayed because we didn't have the strength to do it and we didn't know what to say. So Lord, I pray for all of us tonight that we might now, for just a little while we have here, in the quietest time we've had perhaps all day, all week, since we were here last, that we would hear what you want to say to us from the Word of God, and that the Holy Spirit of God would take these words and make them come alive in our minds and in our heart. Help us to understand them and help us to live by them. And help us not to forget them in all the distractions of life, all the troubles of life. and all the joys of life. So tonight we come before you tonight. We come before you and we recognize as we approach the Word of God that the Word of God truly is a special, special book. These words are special to us. So we come to receive them at the right attitude. And Lord, I know you will bless us for it, and I know you'll strengthen us on the inside, and I know you'll make us better people because we have heard your word and we've sought to do what we're learning in Psalm 119, to obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So let's read again now, and this time we read for observation. Remember, this is the training we do every time. You look for certain phrases, certain words that connect. I read that other section for you because I wanted you to see the contrast. Look at the condition of the psalmist in verse 81. My soul languishes. That's the New American Standard that I read from. My soul languishes. I'm about to die. I'm not going to make it. Inside my soul, I'm languishing for salvation. But notice, I wait for your word. Now that's the posture of obedience, even in deep pain. So in the center of the psalm, in the center of Psalm 119, there's this deep confession and all these questions. You know, when are you going to comfort me? I'm dried up like a wineskin in the smoke. How many days am I going to have to go through this? It's all the things we talked about last week. And now it's almost like a burst of the sun. It's the brightness of God's word. All of a sudden in verse 89, now we read again. Notice the observation. The prayer changes. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You established the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Go back and remember verses 81 to 88 where he's crying out, where are you? How many days do I have to go through this? I'm about to die. Notice the statement. If your law had not, if your word, your word of God, if the law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. Now we pause for a minute. Many of us are doing this, we're practicing this, so take a moment. What words, what phrases stand out as you read this? This is perhaps the first time you've been hearing these words or reading them today. It doesn't matter. What is it that stands out on the page to you as you read it? Make a note. Make an observation. Now we'll read it one more time. Now we read for obedience. Because we are obeying God's word. We hide God's word in our hearts so that we might not sin against God. So how do we do that? We hear the word of God, we observe God's word, and then we obey it. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances. For all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked waited for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. So, Lord, what do you want us to do? We've heard your word now. we ask that during this time, as we observe, as we think about these words for the next little while, you would help us to leave this place knowing what it is you want us to do today. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so again, I've given you this sheet. The first two slides simply remind you that you can take the first verse of each section gives you a good way to pray through Psalm 119. I call it, the faithful way of obeying God's word. This is just it's a path of obedience. And so, church, I love you in Jesus, but we have to learn how to slow down and read God's word carefully, observing what is being said. We were trained to read as children for comprehension, but we weren't necessarily taught how to read for reflection. There's a difference. There's a difference in comprehending. I read the words and I know the word and I know what the word means and I read it. No, that's good. We got to do that. But you have to reflect. And reflecting takes time. And we're Americans. We don't do anything and sit around doing anything. We hurry up all the time. So it's kind of like this. Hurry up, Jesus. I got a lot to do today. Aren't you happy that I'm meeting with you this morning? I mean, that's kind of the way sometimes devotional life can be. Slowing down, pausing, reflecting. If you grew up like I did, my mother taught us, you don't eat fast. Slow down. Chew your food. How many times have I heard that as a kid? Slow down. Chew your food. It takes time. It takes time to get the Word of God in me because I'm not conditioned to slow down enough to pay attention to the words. That's what we're trying to learn to do here on Wednesday nights. That's why we do this. So that when you go to Disciple Life, you go to our Bible studies, you're in our women's Bible studies and precept, whatever, you learn the words matter, but you have to take the time to take them in and think about them. So tonight, from the depths of pain, my soul is languishing and I wait for your word. All of a sudden, we find ourselves completely in a different condition. See, this is the beauty of sacred poetry. This is divine poetry. That's what the Psalms are all about, divine poetry. All of a sudden, we have these amazing statements about the permanence of God's Word. The permanence of God's Word. So tonight, we're going to launch into that and talk about how obedience brings dependence on God's Word. First of all, God's Word is great. That's the theme, really, of this entire section. I didn't give you the meditation for tonight, but the meditation is simply this. God's Word is great. God's Word is permanent, even though my life is always in change. God's Word never changes. That's really the meditation that I would give you from my own reading and thinking about this. So let's look at several characteristics of God's Word. God's Word, first of all, is eternal. Notice in verse 89, look at the language. The first word, forever, O Lord. Your Word is settled, and you can read it, stands or is fixed permanently, stands permanently in heaven. So we see, first of all, God's Word is eternal. So we're talking about something that's important here. And, how do I describe this? God is a God who speaks. The God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is a God who speaks. He speaks with words. And so in the beginning, God said, are you following me? Let there be light. Genesis 1. God said, He spoke, and it occurred. The power of God's Word, He speaks it. Now catch this, He speaks and His words are permanent. They're eternal. They're not made like the things that are here. The things of this earth that go through their seasons. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the Word of God stands forever. The Word of God is eternal. So I want us to look at this and this word settled for once in my life. I've got something that I can stand on that's not going to change. And it's God's Word. Now that's pretty good news, isn't it? Something is settled. Some of us are in here frustrated because we can't get settled. You've been trying to get settled for all your life. And by the way, remember what we always talk about? You're older today than you've ever been, right? Congratulations. I don't know how that makes you feel. But you're older today than you've ever been. So there's finally something settled in a world that's never settled. It's never settled. And so at the beginning of this psalm, we're brought to the place, you know, so no wonder the Word of God talks about God being like a rock. Firm, a firm foundation. God's Word is eternal. Forever, O Lord, your Word stands firm in heaven. So let's think about the Word of God for a minute. By the way, I want you to notice the pattern in this psalm. Notice how it goes from something permanent and solid to something that's not permanent. Notice the pattern. First, we're going to see this idea of God's Word is settled. God's Word in creation makes the earth stand in its place. In verses 90 and 91. All things are the servants of God based on His Word. But then all of a sudden we find the psalmist talking about himself. I'm about to perish, verse 92. I need to be revived, verse 93. I need to be saved, verse 94. I got wicked, the wicked one is after me to destroy me. So all of these things that are not permanent, that come up in my life, it seems like every day I'm having to call on the Lord out of my impermanence, you know, out of my condition of change. It's every day. And some of us say, when's it ever going to settle? It's never going to settle this side of heaven, church. It's never going to be settled. There's always going to be some affliction. There's always going to be some pain. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Remember, we learned that a few weeks ago from the psalmist? But after affliction, I obeyed your word. I keep your word. So hear me tonight. Some of us are looking for things to settle in. Well, we're always going to be praying for the Lord to revive us, save us, help us until we get on the other side of heaven. But that's good because we talk to the one who doesn't change. We talk to the one whose words always stay the same. So let's think about God's word for a moment. First of all, I want you to go to John chapter 1, and I want you to turn there if you have your Bible. John chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth gospel. If you don't, then I'll read it to you here and you'll be able to hear it. But when we come to think about the Word of God, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Word of God. So we read in John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word. God expresses Himself. Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So Jesus is called Word. Word. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Jesus. Through the Word. Notice, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, here it is, the agent of creation is the Lord Jesus. And apart from Jesus, nothing came into being that has come into being. Now read that again, and we read on and say, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth, and it stands. God said, let there be light. God formed the earth. God made the animals. God created man. He created in the 6 days. He said, He said, He said. So the Lord Jesus is the Word of God. In 2 Timothy This is for some of us a familiar verse, and for many of us we'll memorize it in disciple life classes. We'll come to memorize 2 Timothy 3:16, and it's easy to remember. 2 John 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. And I want you to hear it because it's very important, because it talks about the Bible. The Bible is God's word. And so in 2 Timothy 3:16, we read, all scripture. Now remember, the word scripture means the writings. Scripture, all writing, all the writings, they're inspired by God, and they're profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So why do I go to God's word? Why do I memorize God's word? Why do I meditate on God's word? Why do I study God's word? Because it's profitable. It's profitable. It helps me. It helps me to be equipped for every good work. It's profitable for me. And Jesus said, so that we don't forget this, when, you know, I talk about this often when, you know, when I... When I'm talking to our people on Sunday mornings to remind them, the boys and girls and others, in Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, Jesus reminds us that his words are eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, red letter words, but my words will not pass away. The words of Jesus. Look, I've got my page open, Matthew 24:25. Every word's a red letter word on this page. My words will not pass away. So I need to pay attention to the eternal nature of God's word. In the midst of all of my chaos of my life, in the midst of my life not always being settled the way I want it to be, things are coming apart. I need something that's permanent. Here we have good news tonight, church. Forever, O Lord, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Aren't you glad to hear that tonight? Isn't that good news? God's word is also faithful to every generation. So we read, your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. I want us to look at this as not only the faithfulness of God, God is faithful to us, but God's word is faithful to every generation. I'm looking around this room, and we've got different ages of people in this room. We've got boys and girls down here in RAs and GAs, and you know what they're doing? They're talking about God's word. They're memorizing God's word. They're learning God's word. We've got students over there with Tim, and all of our folks are over there helping, and what are we doing? We're talking about God's word. You know what's amazing? The word of God is for every generation of those five chairs we've been talking about. Every generation. The word of God is faithful for a five-year-old, and the word of God is faithful for a 95-year-old. Isn't that good news? One book, one set of words for all the generations. Aren't you glad that God's word wasn't just faithful to the children of Israel? Aren't you glad that God's word wasn't faithful just to the early church, the apostles? Aren't you glad that God's word wasn't faithful for maybe a couple hundred years of the church's history? You know, we're going on 2,000 years since Jesus rose from the dead. 2,000 years plus. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations, and you established the earth, and it stands. God's word is faithful. It's never out of date. But I want to give you a couple of verses that I think are... I love these verses because it helps us with our imagination. So how can we conceive of the faithfulness of God that is from generation to generation? Here's a way you can do it. You look at the sky. Psalm 89, 1 and 2. Go there first. Psalm 89, 1 and 2. You want to know about the faithfulness of God? You want to know about God's character? You want to know about the unseen God and what He's done for us? I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said, Loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens, you will establish your faithfulness. In the sky. I got another one for you. Psalm 36:5. And if you don't want to turn to it, just mark it down and you want to look at it later. And there's some of our modern Christian artists have been singing this from this verse, but it's a wonderful verse. Psalm 36:5, your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. You want to know about the faithfulness of God? Go out and look at the sky. Just, there it is. And beyond the blue, we know it gets dark. And there, beyond in the dark of the other outer atmosphere, you go to the planets and you go to the galaxies. And you continue to see that this amazing creation God has made, the universe continues to expand. Just look at the sky. Can God help us when we got a problem? Just look at the sky. Just, there it is. Look. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. I got gravity holding me down. So do you. Look at the sky. The idea is that of a boundaryless, limitless. God's faithfulness reaches to the skies. So we read in Psalm 119, your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. I say this to all of you who are my dear older friends who worry about your children and grandchildren. The Lord's faithfulness is to every generation. Are you hearing me? It doesn't matter what happens in this world. The faithfulness of God is still here. Do we believe that? God is still on His throne. Do we believe that? I hope you do. We believe in something that's permanent, and it starts by a God who speaks. And when God speaks, it stands. That's a very important principle. It's a very important principle because the Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is faithful. Third, God's Word is powerful. We read, forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in the heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. So let's talk for a moment about how the world stays together. Now, we have all been to class and had science and understand orbital rotations. We understand planetary cycles and we circle. We understand moon, sun. We understand the dynamics of what we've observed in science. The one who made all of those things that we have observed, they are held together. What keeps this amazing world together? Well, I'd like for you to look at two very important passages in Hebrews chapter 1. You need to mark it and you need to meditate on this. Hebrews chapter 1 is that great introduction that talks about the glory of Jesus. In these last days, God has spoken to us in His Son. This is Hebrews 1:1, whom He appointed heir of all things. Jesus Christ is the inheritor of all things. And through whom also Jesus Christ made the world. And He is the radiance of the glory and the exact representation of God's nature. When you look at Jesus, you see the unseen God. And here it is. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Again, this takes us to the heavenlies. This takes us to a realm we don't understand, the unseen. How is it that all these things stand? How is it that creation maintains itself? How is it that this created order still goes on and on so that generation after generation can plow the land, can put the seeds in the ground, can grow on this land? How is it that these things go on? How is it that the world order, how is it that the created universe and the animal life, how does it stand? It is upheld by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ascended, glorified Lord over all creation. Colossians chapter 1, 17. He is before all things, and in Him, in Jesus Christ our Lord, all things hold together. The Son is not the center, S-U-N. The Son of God is the center of all of the created order. Lift your eyes up. The psalmist is calling us to lift our eyes up. Look to what is permanent. Look to what is held together. Look, it will all be held together if you've been coming on Sunday night till 2 Peter, as he tells us, the day of the Lord will come and all of the created order will burn with fire and be dissolved. And a new heaven and a new earth will come. But until that time, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You established, past tense, the earth, and it stands. They stand, that is the world order, the created order. They stand this day according to your ordinances. This is all about God's word. For all things are your servants. I love this. I love this in Matthew chapter 8, and you must look at it. It's such a great story. It's one of the best. I mean, there's so many wonderful stories of the Lord Jesus as he walked among people. So here's this story in Matthew chapter 8. So Jesus has finished teaching the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. All of us who are followers of Jesus, we know that the Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is at the core of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And we must pay attention to those eternal words. But here he comes. He's come off the mountain. And all these large crowds are following him. Matthew chapter 8. A leper comes up. Jesus deals with the leper. And then all of a sudden, as we come in, we're reading the story. And all of a sudden, a centurion, a Gentile Roman soldier, who was an officer, a centurion, comes before Jesus. And the centurion says, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home. Hear what the word of God says, paralyzed. Fearfully tormented. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. What a beautiful thing that is, that Jesus would stop and go. But notice, the centurion says, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Here it is. Just say the word. Literally, it reads, say with a word. Say with a word. Jesus Christ, Son of God, you are almighty and powerful. Say with a word and it will be done. We hold in our hands this blessed English Bible that translates for us the words, the eternal, powerful words of Jesus. Take them in. Take them in. Say a word. God's word exposes our inward condition. We know these words. So when I open God's word, sometimes I feel comfortable and I feel encouraged. Sometimes I feel awakened. And sometimes I feel convicted. Because these are living words. These words are not like any other words we'll read. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper. Living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as dividing the soul and the spirit. Listen. And is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of my heart. So what happens to us? We engage in Bible reading, and all of a sudden, in our mind, it's like someone starts reading our mind. What's happening to me? It's the living Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit of God activating in your mind real words that are permanent words. I must help you to know, as your pastor, when we preach and teach this book, the words matter. Every word matters. God put them together in an arrangement. God put them together in the chapters in sequence. God put them together in such a way for us. So God's word is eternal. God's word is faithful. God's word is powerful. Oh, I could just go on there. But God's word also gives life. Let's go on. If your law had not been my delights, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. Two words there. You have a contrast. Do you see the words? The word perish and the word revived or bring back to life. Look, some of us in this room are about to perish. You're about to go down. You don't know if you're going to make it. Some of us in this room are, we've been revived because we've come to the Word of God. And we've discovered the power of God's Word. John chapter 11. I want you to see these verses because that you need to meditate on them and you need to think about them. And I want you to notice that these references I've been giving to the words of Jesus are very important for us as followers of Jesus. John 11, 43. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Jesus standing at the tomb of his dead friend, Lazarus, who, as we all know in here, the grave clothes of the first century, they had him wrapped in the grave clothes. He's already dead. He's been dead for 3 days. And what does Jesus do? He speaks, and Lazarus comes out of the tomb. God's word gives life. And wherever it's read, wherever it's preached, wherever it's taught, the word of God activates and brings life. This is a life-giving book. Pastor Mike, I'm just about to die. I'm just about to perish. Pick it up and read it, friend. You don't need a pep talk. You don't need a preacher. You need the Word of God. Pick it up and read. Pick it up and read. Well, I don't have time. Pick it up and read. I love it. Mark chapter 1, famous story. I'm giving you these examples to try to encourage you of the power of Jesus' words. Mark chapter 2, it should be. Mark chapter 2. So he comes back to Capernaum, and they bring the paralytic carried by the four men. You know the story. They couldn't get inside the house. They dug the roof off, the tile roof, removed it, set him down in there, and Jesus saw their faith and said, "Your sins are forgiven." The religious leaders, all worried about how he could say such a thing as, "Who can forgive sins but God?" And immediately Jesus recognized what they were reasoning, and he said, "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven?" Notice, which is easier to say, words. "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and pick up your pallet?" But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth, what Jesus says stands. So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, "Pick up your bedclothes, pick up your mat and walk." And he did. What am I saying? I'm saying when you open this book and you read these words, you read these red letter words, you read these words from the letters of the apostles who followed Jesus, you read the Psalms, you read the Old Testament law. When you read it, you discover in these are words. So Jesus, you remember Jesus asked the disciples in John 6, everybody was leaving. They didn't like Jesus' words. Jesus' words were not always easy. He had just said to them, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be my disciple." A bunch of people pulled out. They left. And Jesus turned to the disciples. "Do you want to leave also?" And John 6:68 says, "Lord, where would we go?" Listen, what did Peter say? "You have the words of eternal life." The words. It wasn't what he did, it was what he said. Sometimes people will say to me when they come to church, the words, Pastor Mike. Yes, it's all about the words. Not my words. Not the teacher's words. God's words. So God's word is great. It gives us life, it's eternal, and gives us salvation. For by them you have revived me, verse 93, and I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, and I shall diligently consider your testimony, your testimonies. James has such a wonderful verse, and as we're finishing up tonight, I want you just to hear this verse, or you can look it up if you'd like to, or you can go look at it at home. But here's the way we take God's word and allow it to save us. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So when I read the Bible on my own, I'm implanting the word. Notice implanting is seeds. Drop the seeds. You're allowing the seeds of God's word to be implanted. You come to hear somebody teach or preach. The seeds are being implanted. They're being implanted. How often do they need to be planted? All the time. But notice the attitude with which we come to hear God's word. How do we receive it? We receive it with humility. We receive it. This is the attitude of Psalm 119:93. For by them you have revived me. By your word you have revived me. I am yours. Save me. See, this is humility. Calling out to God to save us in all the chaos of our lives. And then you can read 1 Peter chapter 1 because it talks about how the word of God has been preached to us, which has given us new life. God's word is complete. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that God's word has no limits. It's broad. Listen to me. There's not a person in this room going through any kind of circumstance or situation that God's word cannot speak to you and help you. There's never been a generation that's lived that could not be and has not been blessed by the word of God. God's word is broad for sinner, for saint. God's word is broad for the beginner or the mature. God's word is broad. It's broad. And it is settled in heaven. So what do we do? Tonight, I wanted to make a note as I was finishing just about how did the psalmist respond to God's great word. Three things he did. He remembered God's word. Look at 93. I will never forget your precepts. Then he says he was going to seek and search for God's word. Verse 94, I am yours, for I have sought your precepts. And then finally, he was going to meditate and consider God's word. The wicked wait for me. I will diligently consider your testimonies. So tonight we learn the greatness of God's word. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. There's nothing on this world. There's nothing in this world that's permanent. There's limits on it, but not the word of God. It is broad. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. And we thank you that it is eternal and your word stands. Lord Jesus, here's what you said. You said, come to me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. Those are permanent, eternal words. Whatever the church has done not to convey that properly, whatever we've done as Christians not to say it right, your words are eternal. Your words give life. Your words have power. Your words are eternal. And we honor you and we glorify you, not only as the creator of all things, Lord Jesus, but our Savior and our Lord. You have saved us, and every day you save us more and more because you never change. And we thank you for your word. And we count on it. And we come to you. And we long to read your word. And we long to understand it better. Feed us from your word. Fill us with your spirit. And give us life. You are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord Jesus. We honor you tonight. Thank you now for the time we've had in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. It's great to see you. And we'll see you Sunday. And I hope you have a good evening. Good to see you all. If you don't know everybody, come by and say hi to them. Good to see you, Butch. All right, Butch.